Perichav Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's just read this. Read the Pesukim. We're not going to do the Mefarshim on these two Pesukim. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki Choy Amar Hashem. So says Hashem El Shalom Ben Yoshiyahu. To Shalom the son of Yoshiyahu. We learned yesterday. This refers either to Tzidkiyahu, the last king, or it refers to Yechoniah. Yechoniah had another name which we're not familiar with. His name was Shalom, because it's a very difficult pasuk. Who exactly is Shalom? Mm-hmm. Who, we don't really have a record of who this person was. I think we mentioned the Radak, the Metzudas may have said that he may be in Divrei Hayamim. There is a reference to Shalom, which there it seems to be he was Tzidkiyahu. So he ruled Shalom ben Yoshiyahu Melech Yudah Hamalech Tachas Yoshiyahu, ruled in the place of Yoshiyahu Aviv, even though Tzidkiyahu was the fourth king to rule in the place of his father. But he was the one, as we said yesterday, he was royal Malchus. Or it means that after Yechoniah died, it really should have gone to Yechoniah's son. Tzidkiyahu was the uncle of Yechoniah. Therefore, we say that the reason why he ruled was Tachas Yoshiyahu Aviv, Asher Yotzeh Min HaMakom Hazeh, Lo Yashuv Shemo. When you go into exile, Tzidkiyahu, by Nebuchadnezzar, you will not merit to return. The place where he is exiled, there he will die. He will no longer see this land. Pasuk Gimel. Okay, here's really where we are up to. Hoy, Hashem over here is now coming to bitterly complain against Yehoyakim. Remember, Yehoyakim was the second son to rule after the death of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu died through Paro Necho. Paro Necho allowed Yehoyachas to rule in the place of his father Yoshiyahu, but only lasted for 3 months. After his death, the Malchus went to his brother Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim ruled for 11 years. Yehoyakim, in Chazal's eyes, was not a good person. Even though he appeared to be a good person, we're going to see soon that Yehoyakim had the minhag to fast. He would very often fast. He would fast, have a Yom Kippur Katan, do all of these nice things. But Hashem says, all of your fasting and the sifugim means all of these afflictions that you bring upon yourself are of no value because you don't do the basics. When you're not with the program, you're not involved in doing the basics, all of these extra things have no meaning in my eyes. And that's exactly here is the basics is corruption. He hired people to build a beautiful palace and he did not pay his workers. Hoy, whoa, bone veso, a person who builds his palace beloy tzedek, without righteousness. The second story, it seems that there were two phases in the construction of his palace, the lower grounds and the upper grounds. So the lower grounds were B'loy Tzedek, V'aliyoysav B'loy Mishpat, and the upper story of the palace was also without Mishpat. B're'ehu Ya'avoyd Chinam, against his friend, he forces them to work for free. That B're'ehu means the workers were his friends. They were his subjects. Ya'avod, he made them, he forced them, or he tricked them into working for him for free. He did not pay them. Upa'alo lo yitelo, and his workers, he did not pay. Ho'oimer, Pasuk continues, he says, the one who says, evnali beis midois, now the word midois means measurements, in this context means I'm going to build for myself a magnificent palace, a palace that has dimensions that are massive, ve'aliyos miruvachim, and the upper story will be spacious, v'koraloi chaloinoi, and he breaks open windows for himself, v'sofun bo'ores, and he covers the walls, he panels the walls with the most expensive cedar, u'mashoach ba'shoshar. Now this is a very unusual word, which means he paints it with bright colors. That's how they translate these words. That he paints the walls of his palace with beautiful bright colors. So this pasuk over here is saying over here that Yehoyachin, when he took over the Malchus, he felt he was secure that he would be king forever. And to show to express himself that his beliefs of the security that he found himself in, he built the most magnificent palace. And he and he redirected all of the funds of the Malchus. I mean, he didn't. He made believe. He told the people, work, build, and when the work is done, I will pay you. And he never paid. And here we describe all the various parts of the construction: the lower chambers, the upper chambers, the windows, the panels of cedar, the bright colors of that was painted. And the pasuk goes on to say, okay, let's see these two pesukim. Let's just do these pesukim first. Pasuk over here, Yigulim the Mitzudos. Pasuk Gimel, Hoy Boine. Hashem says, Yesh lehis oinein alzeh. Hashem says, I have to complain alzeh on this person. Who is this person? Yehoyachin. Shabana Beisabul and Mitzedek, who built his house without righteousness. The Aliyos Habayis, the second story, Banabul and Mishpat. Ki Ovad Bireyu Chinam. He forced his friend, or not forced, he enticed, he convinced, he fooled his friend to work for him for free. He did not give advance payment. There was no down payment for the construction. That's how he's doing pshat in the pasuk. He has a very nice pshat in the Mitzudos David. He did not pay in advance, and he did not pay when the job was done. Normally, you have to at least give a down payment before you start. And then, when you finish the job, you have to pay all the money in the conclusion. That is how he learned Shah in the Pasuk. When the Pasuk begins, it says the repetition is, Bireyehu Ya'avoid Chinam. He convinced, he fooled his friend to begin the work without paying anything in advance. Ufalo lo yiten lo, and that means when the work was concluded, he did not pay his chayvos. V'al Yehoyakim Hoimer. And this is the critical part of the interpretation of the Mitzudos. Who are we referring to? Who is the discussion referring specifically to? Yehoyakim, ki mefurish b'sofin. Explicitly, it says the end of the section when he talks about his death, what happens to him. It's explicit. We're referring over here to his sin. This is the sin that Yirmi describes of Yehoyakim. He was a corrupt person. He was a dishonest person. He did not pay his bills. Pasuk Yedalet. Base midos, return to Leimar, midos gedolos. Midos means measurements, and in this context it's an expression which means he built a massively large palace. V'chein anshe midos, meruvachim, the upstairs was extremely spacious. Liyos revach gadol bein chadorei ho'aliyo, sheikonei shom haruach bimei hakayetz. There should be a very great space between the rooms of the upper chamber, between the rooms. I don't know what that means. It means it's a very big lobby, a very big hallway. It's not really clear what he means over here, but the means of purpose over here, it was very, very spacious, so there should be a lot of wind. A lot of air should pass through this area, so it should be cool and it should be pleasant to dwell there. For Karlo Chalonoi, he opened the windows, Kidei Lehisanek Beruach Hayoyim Bizman HaChoyim, in order to take delight in the wind when it's hot. Pasach Liatzmo Chalonis Rabos Bebeso, he opened up many windows in his home. Next, Pasuk Uvasafun Be'eres, he paneled it with cedar wood. V'hoye Mechasa Habatim Beluchos Eres, he paneled the walls with cedar wood. Umashoach, now here's the interesting expression, you don't have this too often in Tanakh, if at all. Umashoach Ba Shoshar, and he painted the walls with bright colors. Okay, what does that mean? V'al Haluchos Hoye Mashoach Betit, he would smear with clay, a type of paste, sheshar. What is sheshar? What is that one word? A very funny word. It means vuhu min tseva. It is a color. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, bisheshar, hu min tseva choshuv. It is a very distinguished color. V'chein chakukim bashoshar. You have the same thing there. It's chiseled out with, and I guess with this color. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means in that pasuk there. But from the commentators, it means, it seems to indicate, is that in ancient times, not the common man was not allowed to buy certain colors in the store. You go to the hardware store, so today you can go buy whatever you want. Benjamin Moore. You can go buy whatever you want. Any color you want. In fact, you bring in a similar, have all this technology that you can take. You can go take a teeny, you chip off a piece of the wall. You ever see this? You take off a chip of paint, and you go into the hardware store, and they put it into a special machine, and the computer analyzes the color, and the computer produces for you a gallon of paint exactly that color. It's an amazing technology. They have this. Supposedly, they can be that precise. So in ancient times, you can do whatever color you want. Not and today, you can do whatever color you want. In ancient times, you couldn't do that. In ancient times, if you want to go paint your home a certain color, you have to have a license. You have to be a member of the nobility. Only the nobles can paint their home red. Only the nobles can paint their head purple. Just like this was true when it came to clothing. You're not allowed to just wear. The average person can't wear argamon. It's a crime. The only one who was allowed to wear argamon, purple, in ancient times were kings, nobility. It was a crime. So too, it appears that this color did not just extend to clothing, it extended even to the color that you painted your home. When you walk into a certain building, you know this is a royal building because the color,
a government building,
exactly. And if someone else would dare go and do this, they were you're impersonating. It's a crime to go and to make believe to paint your house. So here, that's what it says over here. It was the palace. It was shashar. That's what it means over here. The dear meaning of the word ba shashar comes from the word of a sar. Sar. Now it's not a here. It's a shin, but a shin and a sin are interchanged. And a sar means a prince, which means that this color was designated for nobility. Okay, next, let's see over here Rashi. Rashi, these two psukim, Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hoy, Boine Besom, Al Yehoyakim Hoimer. Rashi explains the same thing. These psukim, the next section of psukim, we're discussing one man. We're discussing Yehoyakim, and we are describing in detail his sins. Al Yehoyakim Hoimer, Hoimer, Shuhoye Rasha. Okay, that's a pretty strong thing for Rashi to say without any mincing words. He was a Rasha. The Sofu Inyim Mechiach proves us that then he was a Rasha. L'chein koyamah Hashem el Yehoyakim. So says Hashem regarding Yehoyakim. Now, I was just thinking that we learned yesterday that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Al tifku l'meis, do not cry for the dead. Rashi, it's interesting that Rashi said, if you combine this Rashi with the previous Rashi, there appears to be something very interesting. The previous pasuk, Rashi says, don't cry for Yehoyakim, cry for Tzidkiyahu. Why? Yehoyakim, he died. He died, he got sick, he died, and they threw him out of the chariot because his body was stunk, and they just threw him on the side of the road like a donkey, like a dead donkey. No, don't cry for him. Because at least he died in Eretz Yisrael, and at least he was buried, or at least his body was in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas Tzidkiyahu, he was exiled, and he was in prison, and even though at the end of his life he was given a stipend and he had a good life, he did not die in Eretz Yisrael, he was not buried in Eretz Yisrael. So you would think the reason why you don't cry for Yehoyakim was because he was a good man, because at least he had the merit of dying and being buried, dying in Eretz Yisrael. But over here, in this pasuk, you would seem to learn an entirely new interpretation. The reason why you should not cry for Yehoyakim is because he was a Rasha. And it's not kedai to cry, to shed a tear for an evil man. If you want to cry, cry for the Hoylech, which was Tzidkiyahu, who was a Tzaddik. Cry for tzaddikim, do not cry for the loss of rishoyim. When rishoyim leave this world, it's a time of simcha. When tzaddikim leave this world, it's a time of tzar. That's what would appear to be from this pasuk, but it's not what Rashi said in the previous pasuk, because Rashi does not mince words. Rashi is very explicit that Yehoyakim was a Rasha. L'chein koyamah Hashem el Yehoyakim, like it said later on pasuk Yitches, we're going to see more about Yehoyakim, that he was a Rasha. Pasuk Yidalid, beis midos, Yehoyakim decided to build for himself a beautiful palace, bayis gadol, Kumo Anshe Midais, a massive palace like you have over here. When it comes to Oig and Sichain, they Anshe Midais. When it comes to the Merag, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they saw the giants. What? They saw the giants. They were called Anshe Midais. Sheshvacham ba limdoid is what to measure. The Kar Aloi, the Hirchiv Lo. He went and he cut out for himself windows. He cut out in the walls. He cut out windows. So he types. Vekarlo means he widened. He widened. Vekarlo doesn't just mean he cut. It means he widened windows. Acherim he giyoi. Vekarlo uposachlo. Now, what does that mean over there? Acherim higiu. V'chein tikri v'apoch karata shamayim yiradata kulam loshon pesicha. He's quoting another pasuk. Another pasuk means acherim higiu. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that. Maybe it's a pasuk. The karloi pasachloi. I think that's a pasuk. V'chein tikri v'apoch. Okay, all these upsukim, which all of the similarity between all of these expressions, I don't know what they are all expressions of opening. He opened up in these walls massive windows. Pasuk next words of Vesofun Ba'eres, he would panel the walls with cedar. Misachech Hagag Bo'arozim. Now here the Rashi learns not the walls. I think the Radak is going to learn it means the walls. Everyone says it means the walls. According to Rashi, the Erez was the roof, not the walls. Today you wouldn't do that. Today you don't put wood on the roof, because if you put wood on the roof, it's going to rot in the rain, unless you cover it.
Well, Arazim is for
a long time. Erez doesn't get a wound in the wood. It's waterproof. All right. Rashi learns, is the Machlokes here in Mefarshim, does it mean the walls, or does it mean the ceiling? Next, Umashoach Bashoshar, he painted it with different colors. Umitzayer b'samim monim. So this seems to means he beautified. It seems that they made design. He learns it means designs. Targum yenosan b'shoshar tseva hu mimin hatziyorim. Okay, that's what Rashi Mitzuda said. It means a certain unique color. Loshnacher umashach b'shoshar k'mochut hamishcha. It means they smeared it with oil. Okay, so it means...
Well, if that's the case, that would definitely keep it from rotting.
Chut HaMishcha. Okay, some type of anointment.
Oil-based paint. Which
oil-based paint. Okay, very good. That's what it means. A Chut HaMishcha. Some type of oil which would protect it. Let's see the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and Pasuk Yud Gimel, and Yud Aleph, and the Radak. Hoy boine beitz, Hashem is complaining, zenem al Yehoyakim shezocha b'stam al tifku l'meiz k'moshe perashnu. This pasuk is a continuation of the previous pasuk, which mentions Yehoyakim. Woe to him. V'achash sheperash haholich perash hameis. We're going backwards. We compared the one that dies and the one that is traveling. The one that dies is Yehoyakim, and the one that is traveling is Tzidkiyahu. Now we're going back to discuss the one who dies, Yehoyakim. Shebone, what was his primary sin? Shebone batim v'aliyos begezel uvechamas. He was in real estate. He built batim, he built aliyos, and he did not pay his bills. He did not pay taxes. V'chein zichroi b'soy b'perish. Okay, so first it was palace. Pashup Shalom, before we first was palace. It says explicitly at the end of the, how do we know that it's discussing Yehoyakim? Because it explicitly mentions his name at the end of this section. Next, what does it mean that we're describing in detail the sin? He would hire workers, he would not pay them their wages. And that's what means chinam. He would contract with them, he would tell them to start, and there was no down payment. It goes on to explain more detail. Min, it's a noun. Min, the ace poil Hashem lo yabitu, the work of Hashem they do not look at. It's the pronounced v'komatz chataf. So there is a komatz chataf. And what do we have in our pasuk? What's our mesora? Our mesora is we don't have a komatz chataf. We have a patach, a chataf patach, a chataf koma chataf. He says a komatz chataf. A komatz is a komatz with two dots. We don't have that. We have, well, chomatz kotaf, there is no such thing. There is no such thing as a chomatz chataf. So I guess what we call a chataf patach is what the Radak calls a chomatz chataf. That's a patach, a line with two dots. Kmo min toyar umato aro. Okay, what is the different expressions? Rabbi Wilner, Dr. Wilner, how are you? Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. About 11:30. Okay, so we have over here, okay, I lost the place. Okay, umar toaroi uboze b'cholim hapei kamo shabom min toyar v'toaro min b'nei adam. I do not know what this means. Uperish sochar pu'ulasoi lo yiten lo zehu chinam sh'omar. Over here, when this poetic repetition, when it says here po'aloi b'cholim po'alo lo yiten lo, it means that there was corruption. Yehoyakim, he hired workers with no intent of ever paying them. And that's the same thing as what it says in the beginning of the pasuk, Bire'ehu ya'avoid chinam, he encouraged his friends to work for free. It says in the Torah, do not hold back the wages of a hired worker, schar pulos v'adoniyav yizchon lebracha perish upolo palo, shame, kilu amar, it's a noun, the workers that worked with him, he did not pay them their wage. So it seems to be this machlekes between the Radak and his father, if the word po'alo is either a verb or it is a noun. So does it mean zupo'alo, the wages for the work? I think that's what the Radak meant to say. Or po'alo, the wages that were owed for the labor, lo yiten lo, were not given to the worker. According to the Radak's father, the po'alo is a noun, that the workers did not receive their wages. But of course, it's the same idea, no matter how you learn as a verb, you learn as a noun, it's the same idea. Okay, pasuk yidalit, what exactly did he say? What exactly did Yehoyakim do? Ha'imer evne li, omar livnois ubone. He said, I will build for me. And he built. Veis midois, I want to have a magnificent helm. Gidoylois v'chein anshei midois el aliois miruvachim. I want to have an upstairs, a second story that is very spacious. Min varavach lishaul. Inyan harchav, in that context, the word ravach means also miruvachim, and ravach means spacious. V'yitachin lios miruvachim me'inyan ruach. This is what the Mitzudos explained, that the word miruvachim doesn't just mean spacious, it means spacious as well, but it means wind. That when you have an open area, it allows air to circulate. And when there is circulation, that brings pleasantness. It's cool. Kolaymar, sheyikonis b'chama ruach asuyim li'mega hakayitz. So in the summertime, it's pleasant to dwell in such an area because there is a lot of wind. Now, does that mean that in the wintertime, it's better to live in a confined room? Is that really true? Is there any truth to that? In the wintertime, it's warmer, yeah, in the small room. You don't have the wind. Is that really true? In all of these old homes in this neighborhood, and not only here, but it used to be 100 years ago, the style of architecture was to build small little rooms. Kidios. Small rooms. That's what all these old homes, there are a lot of little small rooms. Today, the style architecture is big open spaces. So why was it? Was it just a matter of design, the style? Or was there a chachma that 100 years ago, it was very hard to keep a home warm? So maybe...
I think it was privacy. People wanted to have to build all
around. In a room, in a home, you have a going home. You could have three, four little bedrooms. Today, they would just knock down all the walls, make it one big open space. So why is that so? Is it privacy? Is it a change of style? Or I'm suggesting, what you see over here is that maybe in the olden days they did not have the technology we have today. It was very hard to keep the home warm in the winter. When you have small little rooms, it's just that much easier to maintain a degree of warmth than if you have a big open space. Maybe it was just a practical matter why.
Yeah, fireplace. I know.
Yeah, but not in a little room. You took yourself a hot water bottle.
Okay, so I don't know. It's an interesting point over here. We signaled that in the summer, it seems that Yehoyakim had a two-story home. The lower story was for the winter, was for the winter, and the upper story was for the summer. The lower story had a lot of little rooms, and the upper story was a wide open space, and that was convenient for the summer when you want there to be a lot of circulation of air, and that keeps it cool. Aliyos miruvachim. You want to do it already? Ready? Can I start the second? He opened the windows. Perushoi pasach lechalonim kitargumoi upatzim lecharakin. He opened up breaches. Chalonoi kmoi chalonim. The word chalonoi is an unusual word. Why is there a komatz followed by a yud? So it's not a difficulty. That's a style of writing. A komatz followed by a yud is equivalent to a nun yud mem, plural. Kmo chaloinim, v'chein al divrei chozoi, kmo chachozim, those who see the words of my prophets, the chozoi. So chozoi is the same as the chachozim. So we see here lesson grammar that a zayin, that a komatz followed by a yud is equivalent to a letter followed by a yud mem, which is simple to us to means, it means plural. The orgim choroi, those who weave holes, people who do embroidery. The chasuf, so that's choirim. The chasufai, sheis, those chasufai means, I'm not sure what that means, it's also shufim. The hadoimim lohem. So therefore, that's why it's over here. They want to open up windows in his room. Okay, next words. V'safin ba'aris. I want to have to be plated. I want to panel it with cedar. So we so far learned the machlokes Rashi and the Mitzudos. Does this mean the walls were paneled with cedar, or does it mean the roof was made with cedar? According to Rashi, it means the roof was made with cedar, and then it was painted with an oil-based paint. According to Rashi Mitzudos, the walls were plated with panel with cedar, and it was painted special, exclusive colors. V'safun ba'aris. Perush base midos shezochar hu mikor b'karos. It was paneled with walls. The luchos arozim, the oid hu moshoach bashoshar. What is shashar? Perushoy mitzuyar b'minei tzvayim. It was decorated with different types of colors. In other words, it was painted. They had painters come in, and what is it called? A mural. Murals. They went and they put on the wall murals. That's really what it means. Tziyurim. V'zachar echa meyem shemit sayarim boi b'roiv. We mentioned over here one specific color that was used, v'hu sheshar. Shenikra v'aravi in Arabic, zan gipur, ubulaz minei, period. What does it mean, safun? Mekoyer, it means it's paneled. Kimo, chelkas, the portion, mechoykeik safun, that has been chiseled out and covered. Atem yoshin
b'bo...
Safun?
Mekoyer
means a ceiling, I think. Safun is mekoyer. So it's also, first he starts out... Mekoyra, Mekoyra is for Luchos. So the Radak is like Rashi. It means a ceiling. Okay, it's a ceiling, not panels on the wall. Okay, Atem Yoshim Bebotechem, the Safanim Yisidim in homes that have been paneled, the Erez. Then he just goes in over here and tells us what the word is. Bo Erez, Be Komatz. The Beis has a Komatz. Ha Aleph, Be. What?
Ha Erez.
Bo. Oh, no, I think Bo'eres. The pasuk says... Oh, you have Nikudos in yours?
Yeah.
I also have Nikudos.
In the pasuk,
it says Bo'eres. Oh, there's a mistake here then. Because I have here...
Oh,
okay, you're right. Bo'eres, you're right. I have a mistake here. Over here they have Nikudos in the Radak, and it says Bo'eres. There are a lot of mistakes in this. Okay, become out. So Aleph, the Aleph is Bezokaf. The Aleph is... There's a Zokef Kotor, I think he's saying the Tam. the tam, on top of the letter aleph, there is a zokef katan. Okay, that's the tam. Umashoach shema toyar. And the word shoyach is a description. What it is painted. It's an adjective. Bepeles karov rochak. That's some type of grammatical expression. The nikra maase hatzir bezeha lashon lufi shuhu b'mashichas hayad l'davar. Why do we describe painting in this manner? Because when you paint, you move the hand kmo ha mashicha, like when you what does mashicha mean? When you thread something, you go back and forth. So mashoyach, it means to paint.
It wasn't a Jackson Pollock.
It wasn't what?
A Jackson Pollock.
Maybe it was.
He just throws the paint at the wall.
Okay, so it strokes. They stroke the paintbrush back and forth, and that's why it's like mashicha, like you're stitching, you're going back and forth with this unique type of paint. Okay, let's go further. So we have over here, so far...
Would that be the same word, sofran, you see, by Bichas God?
Yeah, that's what the Radak says. That's exactly what the Radak says. Kisham chelkas nechaykeik sofran is buried. So it's sheltered. Shelter. So there, the mechaykek in that pasuk means the lawgiver. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the lawgiver. There, his portion safun. He is sheltered. He is sheltered. In other words, he is buried. That's an expression of this. When a person is buried, he's sheltered in the earth. He's sheltered in the rocks, in his coffin, in his burial crypt. So in a chanami, it fits very well. That means that the safun then means it's a roof. It is a shelter. That the roof of the palace was made with eres. That's what Rashi and that's what Radak is saying. Seemingly not like what... No, maybe... I know, I take back what I said from the Mitzudos Stavi. The Mitzudos Stavi says, Mosofon bo eres hoyim chase habatim beluchos eres. He covered. It can mean a roof also as well. Okay. I don't know where I saw this. I believe I must have seen this somewhere, or maybe it's a figment of my imagination, is that in ancient times, after they built the homes, on the inside they had panels of expensive wood that were used as walls, for beautiful walls.
They had carpeting,
tapestries.
That was to keep warm.
Was it?
It was probably not an Aristotle. That was in Europe. It was cold. They made
tapestries to keep warm. Insulation. Before R19, they had other techniques. Okay, in Hanani. But over here, it seems that the Erez is being used for the ceiling. And then it fits very well with the word Safun that's used in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, because there it appears also to be a ceiling. And Moshe, the lawgiver, is his... portion is with Safun, where he is contained, he is sheltered. Sheltering has a connotation of a ceiling. Here as well, this Safun, his home was sheltered in a ceiling of cedar. And Moshoyach Bashoshar either means they painted beautiful colors or designs, or as we mentioned according to Rashi, the paint that went upon the Erez was an oil-based paint, which, I guess, protected it from the elements. Okay, let's now go to the next set of psukim. So far we have over here two psukim describing the chet, the attitude of Yehoyakim. He took over the malchus from his brother, and before that from his father. His brother was only there for 3 months. His father was king for 31 years. And he felt secure in his malchus. And that's why he commissioned workers to build the most magnificent palace, but he was corrupt. He did not pay the workers. He had no intent to ever pay them. Pasuk Tezvav, Hasim Loich. Hashem says to him, "Do you really think that you're going to reign? Just because the mischarev means you show off." You connect yourself. Okay, the word mischare, if you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, Inyon hadibuk v'his arev. V'eich tischare es hasusim to compete. And that possibly means, how do you think that you're going to compete with horses? A horse can run very quickly. A human being cannot. here too, so it means that when you compete, it means you're coming to make yourself equivalent. You're trying to make yourself equivalent to the Eretz. Just like Eretz has a life expectancy of, let's say, 200 years, 300 years, I don't know how long can Eretz last? Maybe 500 years, 1,000 years? Cedar is something which lasts. A home that is made from Eretz has a life expectancy of hundreds of years. You're building your home of cedar. You are comparing yourself to cedar, thinking that you're also going to be around for hundreds of years. You're a fool. Your time is limited. You're going to be out of here very, very soon. Before you turn around, you're going to be exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. Hasim loich? Question mark. You really think you're going to be king for a long time? Ki ata mischareh. You compare yourself. You're competing. You make yourself equivalent to Vo'eres. Avicha, your father was a much greater Now, there's a lot here that has to be added in between the lines. And the way the Mefarshim explain is, you are fooling yourself and thinking that you're going to be around for a very long time because you think you're more righteous than your father. Why? Because Yoshiyahu had the custom of having a lot of parties. Yoshiyahu was not a very good faster. He was not into making takanas every other day, Yom Kippur Katan, and fasting and not eating and having taniyos. That was not his thing. He used to eat and drink and be merry. That was Yoshiyahu. You, Yehoyakim, every other day is a fast day. You make a takana, an aseifa, a kol koire, in the newspaper, everyone should fast, no one should eat. So you think that you're better, you are more righteous than your father. The truth is, just the opposite. Your father was a much greater tzaddik than you, because at least your father paid his bills. He paid the bills. You fast and make believe you're a tzaddik, but you don't pay your bills. When was the last time you paid your internet bill, your cell phone bill? And you certainly have not paid your rent. You have not paid your rent. You have not paid the cost of building your palace. So therefore, you are not a righteous person. Avicha, your father Yoshiyahu, hale ochal v'shasa. He ate, he drank. He was not like you who fasted. But you know he was a tzaddik. You know why? Because v'asa mishpat utztaka. And that's why he indeed lasted for 31 years. Oz toivlo. Don din ani v'evyon. Your father was a good man. He would judge the judgment of the poor man. V'evyon. And that's why it was good for them. Halohi hadas osi nu'um Hashem. That is what it means to know me. So says Hashem. You who fast, that's not called knowing me. Knowing me begins with being honest. Pasuk Yud Zayin ki ein einecha v'lipcha kiim al bitz echa. Your eyes and your heart is only to gain money for your profit. V'al dam hanaki l'shpach. Your only kavana is to spill the blood of the innocent. V'al ha'ishek on corruption. V'al hamerutza la'asos, and on hamerutza la'asos, rutza la'asos means ritzitza. Mitzuda says breaking. Your only kavana is to do harm, to smash innocent people and bring harm to innocent people, and therefore you're going to suffer. So let's see these two psukim in the Mefarshim three psukim, pasuk tezvav. Hasim loich. Hashem says to Yehoyakim, do you really think you're going to be a king for a very long time? You are misoriv. You go and you compare yourself. You attach yourself. You hold on to Atzi Arazim, Losheves for him to live in this beautiful palace. Al Shahim is Skaimim Lizman Meruba, Ritzon Loimar. Why are you building a home that's going to last 1,000 years? You really think you're going to be living a very long time? You're going to be out of here very soon. You might as well live in a trailer. Avicha, who Yoshia, your father, he was a real tzaddik. Haloi ochal v'shasa, yitoche. Now here he's coming over here, the Rad Mitzudas is coming to give an explanation of what this pasuk means, because there's something that's missing from the pasuk. Iker choser min ha-sefer. And therefore the Rad Mitzudas is coming to suggest, and he used the word yitoche, and it's very likely, shohoyu yehoyakim misagef atzmai b'machal u'mishta. Yehoyakim would torture himself. Mitzagev means he would afflict himself. He would fast. He would deny himself the pleasures of this world. The Oso Hara, b'choshvoy shehasiguf yichaper al ra'oso. And he did whatever he wanted. He did every aver in the book. And he thought in his corrupt mind that my fasting will be a kapara for me. Ulezeh Omar. And to this Hashem responded, You're fooling yourself. Better eat and drink and don't afflict yourself. Don't deny yourself all the good of this world and just pay your bills and everything will be okay like your father. Halayavicha, his saneg, the machal of Mishra, your father, he took delight in good food and good drink. V'yasa Mishra tztaka. But you know why your father was at saneg? Was because your father, he did Mishra tztaka. V'avur zeh ha'yotov lo. Ki lo yasa harav lo ha'yolot tzorech al ha'siguf. When you're at saneg, when you pay your bills and you do everything that is right, you do not need to come on to all of these chumers. If you do the basics, you don't need the chumers. And if you don't do the basics, all of the chumers are not going to make any difference. They're not going to help you. Pasuk to Zayim, Don.
What it means by you can't bribe Hashem.
That's for sure. You can't bribe Hashem. All the chumers, all these stringencies, is not going to help you when you don't do the basics. That's exactly what Hashem over here is telling Yehoyakim. Your father was not a machmir. Your father was a very big maker. And yet your father has a reputation as being a very great tzaddik. Yirmiyahu composed the fourth parak in Eicha as a eulogy on the righteous Yoshiyahu. Tzadikhu Hashem. He was a very great person. And he was from the biggest mekilim. He didn't do all the chumers. He didn't have none of the chumers that we do today did Yoshiyahu do. So why was he a tzadik? Because he did the basics. He was a just person. He paid his bills and he was done. The next pasuk says, Don Hoya Don Din Ani Vavyon. He fought for the poor. He stood up for the poor people. It was good for him. This is the ikar. When you're an honest person, it is considered that you know me. You are cleaving to Hashem. You are attaching yourself to Hashem. L'rachem al ho'aniyim k'moni, to have compassion upon the poor people like Hashem. Pasuk Yitzan ki ein einecha. But you, Yehoyakim, you're not like that. You are a Rasha. You steal. Return to Leimar. Aval besigav shalucha einachas. I do not derive any satisfaction from all of your afflictions. Ki ein machshavaisecha ki im al chemdas hamamon. Your only desire is for personal gain. Ulesagev atzmucha. And to all of the afflictions that you bring upon yourself. Laman yuchupar ha'ovar. It's only for the purpose of having atonement for the past sins, so that you can do the averos again. The word merutza means ritzitza. Your kavana is to crush, to smash, to break, to do harm to innocent people. Return leimar liroitzets dalim ve'avyonim, to break and to crush the poor and the destitute. Let's see Rashi these three pasukim pasuk tes vav hasimloich. Yehoyakim, are you so foolish that you're going to be king forever? You equate yourself. You equate yourself to weigh down upon your malchus. So the word he's teaching over here, hasimloich, he's teaching here the word hasimloich in a very unusual way. The word mischareh, he's teaching not like the mitzudos tavi, which means to equate yourself to cedar, but it means to weigh down. If we go back to the pasuk, and look at the pasuk again, and pasuk yud tezvav, hasimloich ki ato mischareh voeres. You weigh down.
Like a trunk.
Like a piece of wood. That's
like
what it seems. Like what?
Like a club.
You're like a heavy piece of wood, it seems. Hatarach yam al sha'ata mischareh. What does it mean, mischareh? So he's translating it for us. Lehachbid, to weigh down heavy, al memshaltecha, on your authority, your rulership, lehodia sha'ata melech. Seemingly he holds these translating words there to become heavy. You're not going to be around very long. Avich, your father, Yoshio, heavy-handed.
He was very heavy-handed, so, you know,
I'm going to be here forever.
I'm going to be here forever, and I'm the king.
I'm the king. And again, that's not like what Mitzvah says. Mitzvah says it means you're equating yourself to the life expectancy of cedar. Avicha, your father, Yoshiyahu, shehisnaheg ba'anova. He conducted himself with humility. See, Rashi's lishitaso. You're an arrogant person. You're mischoreh. You're weighing down with arrogance. Your father was a humble person. He was a humble person and he had a good life. But you, Pasuk Yitzayin, al bitz echa, profit. Ligzol mamon, your only kavan is to steal money. Hamirutze, ritzut stalin, the same thing as the mitzvah is to crush the poor. The oishak yochiach alav, and your extortion proves that you are an evil person. Ki oishak, the oishak is proof that the word ritzut means also to break. Because this word obviously is a difficult word to translate. Hamirutze. Normally, I think mirutze we mean it means to run. Mirutze means to chase. And here, that's not what it means. And that's why the mitzvah said it means to crush. So the Rashi as well is saying that here the word mirutze does not mean to run. It has to mean to crush. And the proof is, look at the word oshak. The word that's right next to the word v'al hamirutze lasos, the word before this oshak, it means to oppress. So just like that word means to bring harm upon someone else, likewise, the word mirutze also means to bring harm upon someone else. The oishak yochiach alav, the word oishak proves what this word means. Ki oishak v'ritzot tamit smuchim b'loshem mikra, they're always juxtaposed. V'chein esmi oshakti, esmi ratzoisi, when Shmuel complained, why do you want a king? Why have you made a request that you need a king? Why don't you accept my leadership? Has there been a person here to whom I have oppressed, to whom I have broken? So from the context of this pasuk, it's clear that it means to break, and we can assume that's exactly what it means in this pasuk as well. Okay, now let's see the Radak. He's talking to Yoshiyahu. We're talking to maybe everyone. Does it say who he's talking to? Well, they had no choice. That's always like that. Every tyrant is like that.
How does it help us? How is the Navi helping us? How is our Kadosh Baruch Hu helping us? If he's talking to the king, if the king is not changing, and we're sitting there, we're going to get destroyed.
So that's a general question. All of the words of the prophets didn't make a difference. All the Nevi'im, the Korban came, they warned them a million times, "This, you're not going to behave yourself, you're going to go into exile." And they didn't listen, and they went into exile. So what's the whole purpose of all this? Klal Yisrael didn't listen. The Melech didn't listen.
Do they have a choice to listen?
Yes, they do, of course. They would not be told.
They
do. They should, I don't know. We don't know what...
To
speak up, I guess, in a subtle way. It must have been, if they're being told this, it must have been that they didn't have an opportunity to do something, at least in some subtle way. Otherwise, they would not be told this harsh mussar. It must be they had some opportunity. And if you'll tell me they did not have an opportunity, at least it's a lesson for later generations. For later generations, when we're going to start all over again, we're going to know what our mistakes were. That's what Mufarshim says, that after they went into Galus, finally the word sunk in, and the only reason why we're going to be able to bring Mashiach is because we know we have what to learn from, we have the lessons, our mistakes, and the lessons to learn from in order to do tshuva. And later it comes true. Later, these are the lessons. To do what? What do you mean?
Because he's saying we couldn't do anything. The people still had the freedom to do the mitzvahs.
All right, they obviously...
Individuals,
yechidim,
right.
The kings, at certain times, they did prevent people from doing mitzvahs.
This particular king, is there any evidence?
Yehoyakim? It doesn't say. I don't know. Yehoyakim, we have some very harsh words. Rashi, he was a Rasha. But to what degree, I don't know. Okay, let's just finish with the mitzvah, the radak. Let's see, just before the pasuk has vav, hasim leich. Do you really think that you're going to remain in your malchus due to this pleasure of living in a beautiful house that's built through violence? The home that you have built has been built through chamas. Do you really expect to see a simin bracha from something that has come about through Gezel? That's a general rule. How could a person expect something good to come from money that was earned illegally, or to have hana from something that was acquired illegally? It's not possible. You're not going to see a simin bracha. That's the very big nisayon that all of these Jewish institutions have when they're offered money that comes from sources that are not 100%. Do you really expect you're going to raise in a yeshiva Talmidim who are Yorei Shemayim, that learn Torah L'Shem Shemayim and become real Talmidei Chachamim, when the food and when the electricity is being paid by money that was either outright stolen, right? Outright stolen what? Money that's stolen or money that was earned from businesses that are 100% connected kol ha'Torah kula. You have an industry, a gambling industry. Ah, oh, shalom aleichem. Welcome back. Getting worried about you and see you for days. Gambling industry. Let's say you have casinos. So it's gezel. Gezel gambling is asmachta. Person, the only reason why you give money into a casino is because you think you're going to win. And then when you lose, you are very disheartened. Or let's say entertainment industry, right? Entertainment Hollywood. We're okay in different dargas. Let's say you're dealing with films that are certainly connected, the values and the content is 100% connected kol ha'Torah kula, and people are earning millions of dollars doing things which are doing things, blowing up people, killing people, and doing averus, and people are coming to enjoy this. And then this person comes along to yeshiva. I'm going to go give you now $1 million. And with this $1 million, the talmidim are going to sit and they're going to learn Torah and kollel. L'shem Shemayim, Kachim, B'taharas. You'll tell me, technically, it's mutter. Because the money, it's so many steps away from how the money was earned. So there's no question about it. According to the laws of Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter. It's mutter. But do you really expect to see a simen bracha? A simen bracha? There is the letter of the law, and then there is beyond. Okay, there's the spirit of the law, but there's also something that is beyond. So over here, even more than law says Yidei Shemayim, and that is a very, very difficult, very big nesoyon. So here as well, that's what it says. That's what it says by Bezalel. Bezalel was Yodea Machashavas. Bezalel knew how to read people's minds. Why does it say in the Torah that he knew how to read people's minds? There were no two people who gave money to the Beis HaMikdash with the same kavana. If you could measure their kavana, L'Shem Shemayim, on a scale, there were people that gave money 100% L'Shem Shemayim, and there were people who gave money to the Beis HaMikdash 80% L'Shem Shemayim. 20% was for the kavod, for the honor, for the plaque. Everyone should know they gave the money. It's a good thing, but when you have a choice of taking gold that you're going to use to make the Kodesh, to make the Kruvim, which is the place of the Hashras HaShchina, are you going to take the money from the person that gave it 100% L'Shem Shemayim, or are you going to take the gold from the person who only gave it 80% L'Shem Shemayim? Bezalel was a person who knew how to read people's minds. Yodea Machashavos, Lachshev Machashavos, in order to take the money that was given 100% L'Shem Shemayim. So you have over here a token of that Machshava in this pasuk. In this pasuk, Hashem says, Hasim Lech. Do you really think that your malchus will endure when your malchus, the symbol of your malchus, your palace, which is the symbol of your malchus, is all built on a foundation of chomos? You have not paid the workers for their labor. And this palace is where you're going to meet with all of the world leaders to negotiate who's going to pay for the wall. Okay, you really think you're going to be successful when everything that you've earned came from chomos? Hasach shayf. What do you connect yourself. You attach yourself. You attach yourself for your benefit. Any tayfes oscha behan oischa im hayis oisa mishkalut staka. I'm not going to hold you accountable for having a good life. If you want to enjoy yourself in this world, go for it. The proof is your father. Ki avicha yoshiyahu ochal v'shasa. I have a mistake over here. Ochal v'shasa derech hamulachim ki derech hamulachim. I have an extra zayin over here. There's a mistake here. Ki derech hamulachim. V'nene b'toivasai, and had pleasure. V'kevon she'asa mishpat tzedaka oz then toiv loy, and that's why it was good for him. V'haya b'toiv kol yamav. Avolata, but you, Nene b'toivas ha'olam hazeh derech ra. But you are being Nene b'toivas ha'olam hazeh derech ra, shebin yonecha sh'ato Nene b'chem ene b'yoshev mishpat, it's not being paid with honestly. Kim ba'ishek, v'chein ma'cholcha, your food, ma'ashachon, your drink, shor ha'noscha, heim b'chomas. K'mosha amar, ki ein enecha, v'lubcha, kim al bitzecha. Everything that you have was only for, was all corrupt. V'yeshem, some say, ki yoyokim ha'yim mis'ane tomit. Now, the Radak is saying the same thing as the Mitzudos, that Yehoyakim's derech was to fast. Every Monday, Thursday, he fasted. So to the outside, to the world, he appeared to be a big tzaddik. That the fasting would atone for his sins. Lefichach, therefore, Omar lo yavicha. Hashem says to him, avicha, halo ochal v'shasa v'yasa mishpat tzedaka. Your father, he did mishpat tzedaka v'yonis period. Do you think that you're going to be like the previous king, Ritzon Eloimar? Ki David, Shaya Melech HaRishon, V'yata Lefisha Ata Mizaroi Ata Choshev Liyos Kemahu, Einze, Ki David Asa Mishpat Utsdaka V'Koro David Erez, David is called Erez, Ki Hoya Ke Erez Balavana. So we have here a third interpretation from the Targum, that when it says over here Hasimloich, you think you're going to rule forever. Ki ata mischore, are you competing v'orez according to the parish of the Targum? Orez is a metaphor for David Hamelech. David HaMelech was a tzaddik. Avicha, David HaMelech haloi ochal v'shasa v'asa mishpat tzedaka. Os tov loi. So according to the parish of the Targum, we're not referring to Yoshiyahu, we are referring to David. David that's compared to the Erez Balevonon. Okay, so this is the basic mahalik in this pasuk. These pasukim now, in other words, there's one more pasuk. There are two more pasuk, in fact. Okay, pasuk to Zayin, don din ani. He was don a din ani. Hallo, he had asai si. Yom Hashem, perashnu, we saw pasuk of Koyam Hashem, al tzal chacham. We understand to really explain this. Being honest, the knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called das, I see. We understand to him, hallo, he data dir'ena. This is. Hallo, he data. I don't know what it means, dir'ena. Okay, pasuk yedzayin ki ein. Your only kalvana is for your own personal gain. Bitzecha, achar chemdascha b'mamon. Your only kalvana is for your profit. Hamirutza inyan shever. It means to crush the poor. Kimo esmi oshakti esmi ratzoisi v'im einem mishrasho. Even though it's not from the exact word ratzoisi, it's not the exact shayrish ki yimsa za inyan menichei ha'ayin. Kamo lo yichyeh v'lo yarutz v'ho'oshek v'mamon v'merutza b'guf. Oshek is in reference to money, and merutza is to crush the body. Shoy oshek schar sochir k'mo shekasov. He would deny their wages, and here he says he would beat up the workers. V'ho'yemake oysam u'machricham la'avoydaso. He would torture his workers. Zehu hamirutza shamar. That's what it means. Mirutza v'gam ha'yeshevach dam naki. Also, he would kill people. V'al zeh om abdibrich hayamim v'se avoisa v'asher osa v'animsa olav hinam k'suvim al sefer malchay yeshov Yehuda. All of the crimes of Yehoyakim can be found in the record books. V'al zeh ha'sefer omar. What is the meaning over here? The sefer malchay Yisrael the Yehuda. So the Radak learns it refers specifically to this sefer, to sefer Yirmiyah. Ella shemedaber al yisrael v'yehuda al amash shemedaber al yisrael v'yehuda v'al malchem. Now this is a very general machlokes. Is that whenever it says in sefer divrei hayamim halayim ksum al sefer malchem yisrael v'yehuda, does that refer to another book that we do not have any longer, a record book? The Radak here says no. There is no other record book that we do not have. It refers to the Sifrei Nevim, and it refers to Sefer Yirmiyah. In Sefer Yirmiyah, there are records. If you read between the lines, you will discover a lot of details about the personal lives of these people. And here is one example. We were learning from this pasuk that Yehoyakim, he hired workers. Not only did he not pay them their wages, he also physically abused them. He hit them, he hurt them, he tortured them, he killed them. Those that did not want to work were executed. And this is what we find over here in this pasuk. Okay, now there are more psukim. Really, I really thought we would do these. The next psukim, a very important psukim, I really thought we would do today, but unfortunately we did not make it. Okay, so we'll stop over here.